Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Sandy Adams guides us through the New Testament book of 1 Peter. Now to Pastor Sandy.
I believe Peter penned his letter while he was a prisoner in Rome, awaiting execution by Caesar Nero. Peter wrote with death looming on the horizon, and yet his eyes were fixed just beyond the horizon, to the glories of his home in heaven. It becomes apparent from this letter that if Paul was the apostle of faith and John was the apostle of love, then Peter was the apostle of hope. Peter became a rock when he looked beyond this temporal world that we live in and he anchored his hope in eternity. In fact, this becomes the theme of his letter, hope in the midst of hardship. Verse 1 says that Peter is writing to the pilgrims of the dispersion. In the book of Acts, we learn that the church was born into a climate of hostility and persecution. From the outset, the church of Jerusalem was hassled and attacked, and many of the believers scattered and dispersed into other parts of the world. Peter is writing to these refugees of persecution. And Peter, too, is writing to us, for we, too, are dispersed pilgrims. This world is not our home. Our habitat is heaven. We're just pilgrims passing through this life. Heaven is our ultimate home. Peter addresses these believers in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us. If you know Jesus, you have been begotten again. As human beings, we are a trichotomy. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Our problem, though, is that we run on two of those three cylinders. We run on body and soul, which is our mind and our emotions, but our spirit is dead. Our body is alive and aware. Sometimes our minds and emotions are alive and aware. It's our spirit, though, that is dead. And yet when Jesus enters a life, he infuses our dead spirit with his Holy Spirit, with the spark of his life. And we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. The Italian poet Dante, in his Divine Comedy, hangs a foreboding inscription over death's door. It reads, "Abandon all hope, you who enter here." Death is the great spoiler. It separates lovers and creates orphans. It slams the door on opportunity and it causes potential to vanish. Death chokes out hope, but our Lord Jesus has overcome death. He lives forever. When Jesus exited the grave, he resurrected hope for everyone scheduled for death. Peter says that we've been born again to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Earthly treasures lose their luster and value, whereas God's blessings are permanent and priceless. There is an inheritance under lock and key with your name on it in heaven. And verse 5 says, "You yourself are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." You know, my kids are always asking me, especially when they were little, "Daddy, will you hold this for me?" It might be their money or their jacket or their baseball glove, or when we're at church, their Bible. "Daddy, will you hold this for me?" An item they don't want to lose, they entrust to their dad. You see, you are an item that God doesn't want to lose. So much so that he promises to keep you, to hold on to you. Believe in Jesus, and God keeps you in his pocket. In chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Peter explains why God allows us to be persecuted. "That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." You see, it is the fiery trial that purifies our faith. You see, God is like a goldsmith. He heats up the gold and he causes the impurities to rise to the surface. And this is why God turns up the heat of hardship in our lives. Hey, if everything was easy, if it was just always a breeze following Jesus Christ, where would we ever be tested? You know, where would we ever be able to show the genuineness of our commitment? But no, He uses persecution to purify our faith, to expose our pride and our self-sufficiency. Adversity keeps us humble, and it reminds us just how much we need the Lord at all times. Peter continues in verse 8, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." It was Helen Keller who said, "The best and most beautiful things in life cannot be seen or even touched. They must be felt with the heart." Jesus has filled our hearts with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And verse 9 says, "Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Verses 13 through 21 tell us that we need to get serious about following Jesus. Verse 13 says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." In other words, get a grip on your thought life. Verse 14, "Be as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust." Lay the former lust aside. Grow up. Verse 15, "Be holy in all your conduct." Live a life that is reserved for Jesus Christ. And in verse 17, "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Respect God, reverence Him, live in awe of your Savior. And here's why we need to get serious about following Jesus. We weren't redeemed with earthly treasure. Hey, you're not some baseball player whose contract was purchased for a few measly million. No, you're somebody special. You're far more special than that. Chapter 1, verse 19 says that you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Your contract was bought with blood. Hey, we have been purchased not with precious metals, but with spotless blood. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. If that does not give your life value, nothing will. And we've been born again, verse 23, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. You know, it's interesting. From the moment we're born, we begin to die. We are born of corruptible seed. That sin is in our blood. We inherited it from Adam. It's in our genetic code. Sin and death now rule in the human race. Human seed is corruptible. It deteriorates and it degenerates. Physically, you were born to die. But spiritually, you were born again to live forever. For the new birth results not from corruptible seed, but from incorruptible seed, through the Word of God, Peter says, which lives and abides forever. Spiritual life occurs in the human heart when the Word of God fertilizes a heart of repentance. And since the Word of God abides forever, the life that it produces is a forever life, an eternal life. Verses 24 and 25 put it boldly, "Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever."
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Sandy Adams is the pastor of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.